Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen, and then lastly, some ice walleye tips for you from walleye tournament pro Corey Sprengel. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Just in time for the holidays, Hayward Power Sports actually has some 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for sale. Nope, it's not a Christmas miracle, but it's great timing for an awesome Christmas gift. Pick up a Polaris Razor XP1000 and get a $1,000 rebate plus 1 year Polaris limited warranty. Or choose 2.99% financing for 60 months. When it comes to side-by-sides, in addition to the heart-pumping Razors, we also have the workhorse Polaris Ranger and the most comfortable and powerful crossover machine, the Polaris General. We even have the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV. Plus, during the holiday sales event, they all offer special promotional financing. Have a young rider, be an ultimate Santa, and take advantage of a $300 rebate or special financing on a 110cc Polaris Youth ATV. These are all brand new 2023 models, and the stock is very limited. Don't miss out. Come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
See Hayward Power Sports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and this last week the storm was something else, and it didn't do us any favors when it comes to outdoor activities.
It absolutely did not. All that snow made for a lot of trouble.
Well, as far as ice conditions out there, I've had reports where there's, you know, maybe 3 or 4 inches of really poor ice with a bunch of water on top and then another layer on top. I've had reports of better ice, 6-7 inches, up to 6-7 inches, but water on top, water everywhere.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on what the condition of the ice was like before that snow. You know, I've heard the same thing. You know, we've got lakes that froze up later that have 3 or 4 inches of ice, and they've got all that snow and slush on top. And then there's other reports that we're getting in that they've got 7 inches of good ice, but, you know, they still got that slush and snow on top.
You getting anybody coming in? I know the holidays, but now after the Christmas and we go toward New Year's when this is going to be airing, there should be people out there, I think.
Yeah, you know, just from Christmas and the couple of days after, we're starting to see a lot more people get out there. They're not going far, and they're not going on machines or anything like that, but we've got guys that are getting out.
Yeah, that's a big point there. Stay off the ice with any kind of a machine, whether it's a snowmobile or an ATV or a side-by-side, and definitely not trucks, you know. But as far as, you know, it's a lot of snow out there to get around in. So, yeah, I think you're better off this early in the year right now until we start getting a little better conditions, and we probably will have as we get later into the winter. Better off to pick your battles out there. Pick some smaller bodies of water, smaller lakes, or places where you can walk out to fairly easily to get out there, rather than have to fight through a whole lot of snow to get out there, and then you're going to wind up wearing rubber boots a lot of times too.
Yeah, some easy access spots are going to be best this time of year. You know, pack light to get out there and look for high percentage spots so you're going out there and you're making your time worth it.
You know, all this snow on top of the ice, that's going to accelerate the weeds dying off out there, and it's going to actually push us farther into more a mid to late winter pattern, I think, where you can be mostly a lot of panfish action versus, the northern pike and the walleyes.
Yep. So, you know, once we get all that weed growth dying off, a lot of those panfish will move out over the deeper basins, which is good because they get a lot easier to find because they come you know, a little bit more concentrated and easier to find on electronics out there. But for those guys that are getting out there after the crappie's on the basin, just be careful because of the ice conditions. So, you know, stick to those shallower weed lines as much as possible until they die off, until we have some good ice a little later winter. But yeah, there's some good fishing to be had.
Well, you know, and pick your, like I said before in the show, talking about pick your battles out there, find the smaller lakes. Usually, if you can find a lake that's 15 to 20 foot is maximum depth, you're going to wind up with a little more ice out there in that deeper water. Versus, you know, a lake that's 60 or 70 feet deep, your shallower, smaller lakes are going to have a little bit better ice tape. You're trying to get out there to those basin crappies.
Yeah, they will. Be a little easier to find on a smaller lake, too.
You know, when we talk about electronics, I mean, nowadays we got everything out there. I know I haven't been out ice fishing yet, but I'm kind of looking forward to getting out and using that live scope, that Garmin live scope system or live sonar. That's going to be a whole game changer, and it already is out there for a lot of people ice fishing.
Yeah, I mean, talk about toys to take out on the ice with, you know, we're so spoiled these days with our new augers, you know, machines that you can take out there, you know, all of our live scope units, Vexars, you know, fish don't stand a chance these days.
Well, you know, and that's where it becomes more and more important that we have the bag limits and restrictions to restrict the harvest, because, you know, when it comes to things like muskies, most people release them in bass, but when it comes to walleyes and panfish, people have a harvest mentality a lot of times. They want fish to eat, and I don't blame them for that. But, you know, there's other fish out there, too. One of the fish you could concentrate on that we actually got the DNR wanting us to take some out is northern pike. And in my opinion, they're just as good as anything else, maybe better to eat.
Oh, they're an awesome white meat. They cook up really, really nicely. The only thing that you're worrying about on a pike is the wide bones. But, you know, you do those enough times, those are easy to pull out, and it's just like filleting a walleye. So, you know, northern pike is a great table fare.
You know, and that's always been early in the year. That's always been more of a weed line thing. Set your tip-ups on the weed line or a little shallower. But now as we get into that winter and a lot of the fish move deeper, you could be setting tip-ups a lot of times in 20, 25 feet of water for those pike.
Yep, you sure will. You know, just like most fish, they're going to follow the food. So once those crappies and bluegills move out to a little bit deeper water, guess what? They're going to go too.
What do you recommend for midwinter to late winter baits for the pike versus the bigger sucker minnows?
Bigger sucker minnows or dead baits? You know, my family has always had really good success on fishing dead baits out there. Just got to make sure that they are preserved the correct way. But, you know, bigger suckers, bigger shiners, you know, something lively and it's got a little bit of flash on there. They'll work really well.
You know, and if you get a chance to get into things like any type of bigger bait, like smelt in the spring, you know, a good way to preserve those is to put them in salt. Basically, take a bucket, drill a bunch of holes in the bottom of the bucket and nest it in another bucket. So all the fluid winds up in the bottom of the second bucket, and pour a whole lot of rock salt or canning salt in there and mix them up real heavy with the salt. Pull them out after two or three days, rinse them out, straighten them out, and you got a really well-preserved bait that's actually got salt in it, which fish like.
Yeah, and, you know, I've even seen people go as far as using food dye and coloring just to see, you know, what pike are looking at down there and what colors work better than others. But, I mean, you know, just so long as you have that profile and that smell down there, that smell really pulls them in. But yeah.
You know, and panfish later in the year, too. Do you think that, you know, it's going to be a midday bite a little bit more? It should start. The crappies tend to go late in the day, early in the ice. But as we get more snow, we tend to have more of a daytime bite even.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on the body of water. I mean, I've had days where I go out and they are just on fire until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I have other days where I go out and, you know, they don't want to start up till 3:30 or 4. So, you know, it's condition-based, you know, whether it's light penetration through the ice or what we have going for the barometer that day. But yeah, exactly. You know, the best way to find out how they're biting, though, is to be out there fishing.
Can't catch fish if you're not sitting out there on the lake. And as far as getting ready to go out, you guys got everything they possibly could need for ice fishing here?
Absolutely everything. You know, we've got so many good choices for your panfish bite. You know, we've got tip-ups and line and hooks and bobbers and sinkers and everything that you're going to need for the winter. So yeah, if you need it, we've got it. Come on down.
Thanks a lot, Jared. And hope everybody has a happy new year.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we return, we'll be talking ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo,
and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports has a limited number of Can-Ams in stock. Come pick a 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATV, or we have the 2023 Can-Am Commander and Defender side-by-sides, and special promotional financing is available on all of them. Want to really surprise a young rider? Hayward Power Sports has Can-Am 90cc youth ATVs that offer a $500 rebate or 0% financing for 60 months. These machines will go fast, so don't miss out. Get your Can-Am today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here quite often is the Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Steve Jensen. I ran into Steve the other day in the bait shop, had a chance to talk to him about ice fishing.
Good to have you on here after a little while, Steve. You know, I run some stuff from previous times, time to time with you, but good to have you on here live.
Yeah, for sure, John. It's been a little bit since we've run into each other. I saw you back here doing a show with Jared, so I figured I better come on back and chat a little bit of fishing.
Let's talk a little bit about the ice conditions this year. We've talked about that on the radio show many times, but this is one to be a real challenge for people who want to get out ice fishing this year.
Yeah, it sure is, John. Unfortunately so. It started off okay. We were getting some decent ice, and now we've just been getting inundated with the snow, and we had big, wet, heavy snow, and just some definitely challenging conditions. I'm heading out today just to look around and see where I can and if I can get to some places, and there's some places where guys are not getting, and I think it's just going to be a tough year with a lot of slush, and like you say, it's going to be a challenge.
Well, you know, and as I mentioned with Jared here, we're talking, you know, I pick your battles out there, because, you know, this year you're not going to want to wading out there in that snow, knee-deep snow, and going very far. So if you can find smaller lakes and smaller, shallower lakes where you can get to that basin for the fish or area you want to fish without going a big distance, and if there's good enough ice out there, and there's generally good enough ice to walk on,
Oh, absolutely, and we'll have nice enough ice here before too long. We've had some really, really nice cold temperatures, but, you know, like you say, we have that snow that's insulating it and making it a little bit tougher, so walking is even a challenge with the snow. So you do have to pick stuff where you can just go from shore and be a little bit closer. It's hard to guide pulling stuff, so I generally don't like to guide unless I can machine out in some way, shape, or form.
Me three.
So yeah, and that's going to be the hard thing. I actually got a nice, beautiful new track machine this year, and I'm not quite going to use it yet because we just don't have the ice. I'm going to try to get on a few spots with my smaller four-wheeler. It'll be a snowmobile year. Guys with those will be able to access some areas probably better than others, but, you know, there's certainly plenty of places to walk out and fish around Hayward. There's a million lakes, man. If you can't find a place to go fishing, you're not trying real hard, and just a matter of how much work you want to do and what you want to target. You know, we may have to not do as much walleye fishing, more pike fishing. I think you guys mentioned that on the show, and maybe more bluegill fishing over crappie fishing, depending on what we can get to. So it's all just about making good decisions and picking your choices the way that conditions dictate.
Well, Steve, you know, when we get this much snow on top of the ice, do you think we're going to see the decrease in the walleye bite going on and more toward the mid-winter to late winter patterns?
You know, it's always better when you have a little bit less snow, and that early ice bite is generally our best walleye bite. As our winter goes on, it gets a little bit tougher here regardless, so this year probably even more so with the way the conditions went so fast. But there is a good walleye fish, and guys will certainly be able to pull out some nice fish. It's just going to be a little challenging to get to some of the best spots until we get a little bit better ice.
And we're talking about this time of the year fishing. What kind of tips can you give people? What kind of mistake do you see a lot of people make? Let's start with that.
Well, a lot of guys fish a little too deep. I think, well, we've mentioned that. Not every fish rushes out to the middle of the lake once the ice comes on. Although that is a great pattern and easy way to fish, especially with electronics. But, you know, don't overlook the bluegill fishing here. It's pretty dang good. Pick your lakes wisely. But if you don't mind sorting through a few bluegills, you can get an awesome catch of fish that way. And also those northern pike, which we mentioned, they're pretty easy to catch. They're easy to target. They're a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of our lakes are asking us to reduce the pike population, so that's a fish that I actually target a fair amount while I'm guiding. And actually, in a few lakes now, John, we're pulling out a lot of largemouth bass. Yep. And we're doing that with the bluegills and the pike, and they're a lot of fun, and some of the lakes are asking us to harvest those. So those are all things that you can kind of lean back onto if the crappie and the walleye bite isn't as good as normal. And like you say, pick your battles, because you don't want to have to trudge out into the middle of the slush and check your way if you are taking machines out, and that's how I do it. I drill a hole, walk, drill a hole, walk, move the machine, drill a hole, walk, move the machine. There's no just blind driving. We always know what's in front of us. So that's probably my biggest pet peeve, is just seeing guys drive off into the blue and they have no idea what's underneath them, especially visiting anglers. So I don't want to have to spend my day digging you out, and you don't want to spend your day digging me out. So take your time, check the ice, drill all your way out. Once you have a safe path and you know where you're at, you're generally good, but you also have to be aware that sometimes slush and water will seep into those paths. So another thing to consider when you're getting out and doing a little adventure.
Yeah, you get out there and you got a nice trail. You look behind the snowmobile, it looks good. Then 5 minutes later, it's brown and full of slush.
Right, it can happen. So another thing to be aware of. But the one nice thing is, once you open those trails up, they generally freeze tighter, especially with this below zero temperatures that we've had. So the more people that get out there, the more trails they get busted open, the better that those conditions will get.
Yeah, the bad thing about that, though, is it tends to get really rough. I mean, you get all that frozen chunks of ice and stuff, and that's not good for the snowmobile trail.
That could be tougher for that, too, but at least it's a way to get out. You know, sometimes you got to take what Mother Nature will give us. So we'll see how it goes.
You know, and talking about pan fishing, you know, out there this time of year, yeah, like you said, not all the fish go out in that deep basin. They will later in the winter here, but right now I think we've probably still got bluegills and crappies on the weed edge yet.
Oh, absolutely. And actually yellow perch are up in the weed edges too. So it's definitely, especially these first month or so of good ice, I spend a lot of time bluegill fishing, and it's a lot of good action. You generally catch more fish than you do when you're crappie fishing, so it keeps people busy, especially when you're waiting for those pike flags to fly.
You know, you mentioned perch. We've got some good perch lakes up here. You're not going to seem to catch a lot of them jumbos anymore, but
right. You
know, if you can get into them 9-10 inch perch, there's some good eating too.
Absolutely, and we're getting some good schools on some of our deeper clear lakes. Just a little bit more work to find them some days, but honestly, the populations have definitely been increasing in the last 5-6 years. So something that a lot of guys are starting to learn about, and certainly something to exploit.
What do you like to use as far as a presentation on those?
Boy, I love little spoons, little cast masters and little Swedish pimples tipped with waxies or spikes. I love red spikes. In fact, that's probably my primary bait through the course of the winter, is a red spike or maggot. And we just cover a lot of water with them. The backup plan is, if they're looking at spoons and not biting, a little less aggressive, I'll use tungsten, nice heavy tungsten, because we're generally fishing 20 to 30 feet of water. So something that'll get down there quick. And a little bit smaller profile on that tungsten, so they can suck it in a little bit easier. When they're real aggressive and chasing, a lot of times that spoon is hard to beat.
You know, and a good tip on that perch fishing too is generally you're pulling them off the bottom. Yep. And a lot of times you go out there with your sonar and you drop it in, you don't see anything. You almost always want to drop a spoon or something down there right away and pound the bottom a few times and then bring it up, and you'll know if there's perch there, because they'll come up on it real quick.
Absolutely, John, and that's a great point, because a lot of guys crappie fishing don't bother to drop a jig if they can't see them, right? With perch, it is absolutely true. If you don't drop something down there, a lot of times you don't realize they're there. So I always make sure I drop every hole that I drill when I'm looking for perch.
You know, it's interesting, because a lot of people are the assumption that what they see for the bottom on their sonar, their depth finder, is the bottom, but you actually have a fairly good dead zone down there, and the more irregular the bottom is, the bigger that dead zone is.
Oh, absolutely, John. Especially on a steeper break, you're going to have quite a bit of a dead zone there, sometimes up to a few feet. So depending on how steep the gradient is that you're fishing, that certainly can be the case. And out in those mud basins, they'll sit belly right to that mud. That mud's pretty soft, so they can kind of blend right into that sonar signal. So like you said, it's always a good idea to at least drop us something down there and see if we can get them to raise up.
You played around with any of that forward-facing sonar, the new sonar yet?
You know, Johnny, I'm not. I'm a VexLR guy. I don't know. I know it works. I know a lot of guys that have it. I just feel like we catch all the fish that we need doing it my way, traditionally. And I don't know if it's all the best thing for the resource. We'll see. It's here now. We ain't going to stop it.
Yeah.
For me, I think we're doing just fine the way it is. Maybe I'll change my mind in the future and add it to the arsenal. But as of right now, I don't have any.
I haven't used it for ice fishing yet. I've got to set up for ice fishing once we get out there. But open water fishing, I will tell you that in my boat, and you know, I started out doing mostly muskie guiding. You spend a lot of time muskies in the summertime. I've had to gravitate. I can't keep up with these younger guys anymore. So I've had to kind of gravitate toward taking families out, and I do a lot of pan fishing and that stuff in the summertime. It live sonar and live scope. I don't care what brand it is, but I use the live scope. But that is probably the best tool I've ever seen to teach people how to feel they got a bite and know they got a fish on, because you get out there, and you've been there, done that. You get three people in the boat, and one of them said, why can't I get a bite? And they pull up their plastic, and it's gnawed to pieces. They're getting bites. They just don't know. And if they can actually physically watch that on sonar, they real quick pick up on what that bite is, and it makes a difference.
And there's no doubt, I'm sure it helps you to find fish or stay with fish that are moving on you as well.
Absolutely.
It's cool technology. Definitely something that's out there, and I know a lot of guys are definitely picking it up, and we'll just see where it goes.
I think what we're going to wind up doing is eventually we're going to see the bag limits even go down further on the crappies and stuff. I've been a proponent of going to a five on a lot of lakes because, you know, if you can get five decent-sized crappies apiece and a couple guys out there, you got a meal.
Yeah, true story, John. And honestly, we're blessed to be in an area where they are doing some progressive panfish managing. There's some crying about it from a few of the old timers and things like that. But the reality is most of us are pretty happy about reduced bag limits. And if you want to catch more fish, catch five in one lake. It's absolutely legal to hop over to another lake, catch five over there. So, you can get enough fish to have a fish fry and you're not, over harvesting or, causing problems. And some of our lakes definitely get heavy pressure, and some of our smaller lakes that can certainly be a factor. On the bigger lakes, probably not so much. But really some of those smaller lakes are the ones that I worry about.
And actually that filters down to walleyes too, because our walleye populations per acre are not that high anywhere, even up in Canada.
Yeah, true story, and it's just a matter of, people realizing that we have a lot more users out there and we have a lot more educated users, and these guys know how to catch fish and they're out there doing it. And that is great. That's what it's there for, but we also have to realize we have to manage that resource so that it's there for the future.
And I know that you get out there mostly in the summertime a lot for muskies, that's everywhere, and as far as the managing the fish, and the one fish that you mentioned earlier that we can go out and try to harvest some, and that's a northern pike on a lot of lakes. They're very prolific.
Absolutely. And in fact, overly prolific. And we've had a few good years of pike spawning because there's definitely been some large year classes of fish in some of the lakes. And we have a few lakes where the pike have invaded where they weren't previously in the last decade. So that's kind of an interesting thing that's happening in the area. And when they do invade a new body of water, as you know, they just explode in population. Typically, you'll see that explosion kind of subside over a course of time, but right now we have that going on, so they're definitely advocating them, and I love them. I eat them a lot. It's probably the fish I eat the most, freshwater-wise. Yep. I'll keep a pike in the summer if I want something to, throw in the fryer, and through the course of the winter, it's a fish that I target a tremendous amount.
Well, when you get pike come into a muskie lake, the pike really seem to override. But the big determining factor there, and we've talked about this with Max Walter stuff, is the water clarity. If you've got a stained water lake, the muskies tend to override the pike a little bit. But if you've got a clear water lake, that's the other way around. The pike seem to come out on top.
I think that's a pretty good observation. I would agree, through all the hours of time that I spend on the water, that I would say I've seen a very similar thing.
It takes a big lake if you got clear water to support pike and muskies.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and it takes a lot of food. Those pike are voracious feeders, like you say. And so it's just something to think about if you're out there, and don't get hung up on your walleyes and your crappies. There's certainly other fish that you can go after.
Steve, very interesting conversation here. Anybody that's looking to get out with you for ice fishing or in the summertime here, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely, John. You can get me on my cell phone at 715-558-3709. And website is fishhunts.com, F-I-S-H-H-U-N-T-S. And Steve Jensen with a G at Facebook. I generally post in pictures quite often.
Well, thank you for taking the time here, Steve, on the show.
Yep, you bet, John. Anytime.
Well, folks, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring their show to you every week. When we return, we'll be talking ice fishing and walleyes with walleye tournament pro Corey Springle. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week.
So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, on this part of the show, we've got some great ice fishing walleye tips for you from walleye tournament pro Corey Springle.
Talking to Corey Springle, any good tips for guys out there on walleyes in the wintertime?
You know, one thing about wintertime ice fishing, I think the biggest misconception a lot of people get is they feel like they have to jig slow and they have to, you know, be real lethargic. Like, you know, that fish is not, you know, doesn't have a lot of aggression. They're moving around slowly, which the fish are doing. But the biggest trigger to any fish, doesn't matter cold water, warm water or not, is getting that reaction bite out of it. You know, moving aggressively, jigging aggressively. You can almost change the mood of that fish by how you jig. And one thing I like to do when I'm walleye fishing, especially ice fishing, is being super aggressive. I mean, I'm moving that bait really fast, you know, constantly shaking it, but I always want to be above them. You know, one thing about a walleye is a predator fish. It's used to chasing something. It doesn't want it to be, you know, just sitting in front of its face, just wiggling. Try making it act like it's getting away. Everything that they eat is always trying to get away from them. So, but, you know, moving that bait away from them, jigging very aggressive, you're going to get that reaction strike where that fish doesn't think twice and it just eats it. You know, I never want to let a walleye study a bait.
This is kind of what you're seeing going on in the summertime with the jigging wraps and jigging spoons and rattle wraps, that type of stuff. You're covering a lot of water, but what I understand the guys are doing is they're drilling a lot of holes and just jumping from hole to hole to hole looking for those active bites. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly. I mean, I actually guide in Devil's Lake in the wintertime for the Perch Patrol. I mean, so I do scouting every day. I mean, I guide 7 days a week, and we fish walleyes and perch, but, I mean, I won't spend more than 5 to 10 minutes in a hole. And before I'm moving on, if there's any active fish in that area, they're going to come to whatever you're using. I usually use some kind of spoon with a rattle or a very noisy bait to draw in any fish. It might not be the bait that I'm going to finish those fish with, but it's going to show me if they're down there. And if I don't see anything in 5 to 10 minutes, I go to the next hole.
It's kind of amazing how aggressive you can get, actually, and those fish will still hit that. I mean, it's blown my mind as far as you catching walleyes. It's a whole new game.
Exactly, and especially the bigger the fish. I mean, it's nothing to rip that bait 2 or 3 feet sometimes and let it fall right back in that fish's face or just above it. And, you know, sometimes that's what they want. They'd rather not stare at something.
Well, that makes total sense because, you know, we've known for years when it comes to walleye tournaments, probably the most winning game is the trolling game. Mm-hmm. And trolling, I think there you're getting a responsive bite on everything. You're moving so fast that if they respond to it, they're not looking at eating it.
Yep, and it's one thing, it doesn't matter, panfish, whatever. If a fish wants to see what something is, the only way that it can check and see what it is put it in its mouth. It doesn't have a pair of hands where it can just go grab that bait. So that's where jigging very aggressively shines, because you're not letting that fish study that bait. If it wants to see what it is, or if it annoys it enough, or it wants it to catch it, it's got to put it in its mouth, and that's when we have that fish hooked up. So it's the best of both worlds. It just gives that fish no chance to study anything. You might not have the best color on that fish really wants, but it's still interested and curious. It's got to put it in its mouth.
Well, kind of what I tell people, too, is you got two ways of catching walleyes. You can sit on a spot and wait for them to come eat something, or you can make them eat something.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, Corey, I want to thank you for coming on here.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.